Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
Hello, welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Matt Prime. How's it going, guys? Good? You guys doing
us?
Well?
Yeah, great.
Cool. Hang out here for a second. I'm going to do a weird thing.
Oh, great. That's cool. Going to be interesting. I guess we'll just keep talking.
Hey, Justin, any plans?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
After the show, next couple of days, you got anything coming up?
Well, I should say, make a minor announcement. I am having a baby soon, like this week.
Whoa. Yeah,
so
that's about to get crazy.
I mean, this is going to be your last show with us.
For I don't know
forever.
How long. Not forever.
Oh, no?
No, that's okay. Not. I'm living on as a father. I will be a father, so I'm going to have a lot of different opinions.
Hey, just before you go, I just wanted to say, man, I fucking hate you.
Okay. Oh, wow. That seems aggressive and unnecessary.
Yeah. Do you think, are you going to name the baby Pete?
Yeah, I think he's the person I want my daughter to grow up to be like.
Yeah, great. It's a smart choice.
When I picture your daughter, I picture you with a very hairy face.
Yeah. Well, I think, obviously, Pete is a little upset because he and I were Jedi married on
right.
the show.
Right.
We've been planning to adopt for a while, but we haven't found the right Padawan to welcome
man.
Into our family.
Good ref.
Yeah.
That was pretty
good. Cool, right? I get it. I see movies that are related to
congratulations to you. Very
thank
exciting.
You.
Yeah, we're
definitely
going to
miss you while you're on hiatus with your baby.
Yeah.
Baby hiatus?
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
Paternity leave.
That applies
cool.
That
I don't
applies
know. If you're the father
you.
Of two children, don't you yeah. don't know?
No, I don't know how that works. Whatever. I'll look at we'll set up your 401k and all
just,
the other
just set up a little dummy of me and I'll call in and shout things randomly. Just
yeah.
like my usual
just
job.
Just a cackling dummy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Am I known as a real cackler?
Guys, we have a very exciting show for you. Super exciting. If you like guests with three names, boy, do we have the show for you. One of them is the artist of Teen Boat and the creator of the new book Hippopotamister. The other plays Riddler / Edward Nigma on Gotham. Ladies and gentlemen, John Patrick Green and Corey Michael Smith.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Welcome
What's
to the
up,
show.
Guys?
Hello.
Thank you so much. Welcome.
Hello.
Grab a seat.
Thank you for coming. Hello.
Grab
please.
A microphone. Grab
down.
A seat.
Grab a
very
seat.
Very exciting.
Grab a fourth name
oh
if you need
goodness.
One.
Guys, very yes. excited to have you here. Very excited to have you live. I'll let you drink water. We can chat with... No, that's fine. Take
stay
it.
Hydrated,
no,
guys.
Cool.
These lights get hot. These are tanning yes. lights, so we'll all walk out of here with yeah. a sweet summer base.
Yeah, and melanoma.
Yeah, and a light, just a light melanoma.
Well, John, let's talk about you because your book came out today, right?
Yes, it did, indeed.
That's awesome. I've been a fan, if you've never picked up Teen Boat, which you did the art
okay,
for,
yes.
one of my favorite books.
Oh,
can you.
You
give the log line for Teen Boat?
So Teen Boat is the only comic book that features the angst of being a teen and the thrill of being a boat. It is about a teenager that can transform into a small yacht.
That's awesome.
It's great. The
thank you.
First, I think it was the first issue, is a typical teen scenario where they invite him to a party, but they invite him to a party because they want to have a party on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's very conflicted about it.
Yes, yeah. indeed. Yes. Yeah.
That's fucked up. I mean, we've all been there.
We've all been there?
When the cool kids want to hang out so they can party on you.
What?
That's what we're talking about. The book.
That's right. Yes, yeah. exactly. That's
now there's
exactly
a. I vaguely remember a cartoon from when I was much younger about a kid who turned into a car.
Turbo Teen.
Right. Whenever he got wet.
No. Whenever he got hot.
Hot.
Yes.
Okay, great.
So if he ate a hot dog.
Yeah, his
he'd
life
turned
he
into
was,
a car.
Yeah. What a living
makes
nightmare.
Sense.
What?
That makes sense. That's
oh,
all
yes.
I was saying.
Yes.
But you have another book that came out today, Hippopotamister.
That's right.
Which is not about a teen boat.
No, it's not about a teen boat. This is my first graphic novel for young kids. Teen Boat is... Well, Teen Boat actually was kind
it's pretty hardcore and gritty.
Teen Boat.
It's like R-rated.
Edgy.
Well, it was originally... You've seen the mini comic, right? Have you seen the full book?
Like, I have, yeah.
There's a color book, and that's the second book that was being held up. When we started it, but the writer and I, when we came up with it... We were in our 20s, and it was meant to be...
You talk about that time like it was a real nightmare.
But the gag was that it's supposed to be about a kid in high school going through all these, you know, changes, quote-unquote. But it's funny in retrospect. It wasn't meant for, like, teenagers to be reading. Like, there was drug use, there was all this sort of stuff. And then it got picked up by a publisher, and they wanted to make it for... 12-year-olds. So we had to take out a lot of jokes.
The fun stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. So the original mini comics, the original black and white mini comics were a little more hardcore. And then we had to tone it down just a little bit. So that was for 12-year-olds, for like middle school. And Hippopotamister is for like 5-year-olds. It's for like kids in like pre-K to second grade.
But like edgy 5-year-olds.
Yes. Yeah. There's some edge to it. So the story is it's about a hippopotamus that lives in a rundown zoo, and his friend the red panda. It's kind of modeled off of the Central Park Zoo. His friend the red panda gets fed up and is like, I'm going to leave the zoo and I'm going to get a job amongst the humans. And eventually the hippo. Like, the red panda would come back, and the hippo was like, this sounds pretty cool. I'm going to do this, too. So they go off on these little job adventures. But the red panda is so terrible at everything that he always gets them fired.
Yeah,
like, he's setting stuff on fire.
I worked with the red panda for a couple of years.
They're the worst. Like, they're cute, but, like, they're a menace.
Pete's actually a red panda.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a spoiler. It's true.
I can barely hold a job.
The book is adorable, super cute. What for you, like when you're approaching a kid's book, I feel like every kid's book is a series, right? Mm-hmm. So are you thinking ahead to that? Is first, second thinking ahead to that? Or is it just one book and done?
Well, currently, Hippopotamister is one book. I do have other books lined up with first, second that haven't been announced. The ink isn't dry on the contract yet. Those will be a series. I might as well tell everybody. I'll say it's about kittens.
Kittens. Interesting.
You're just getting progressively cuter.
Yeah, exactly. This is for the fetus to 1-year-old. It's about kittens.
It's about kittens. It's called House Kittens. Mm-hmm. It's about kittens that run a construction company and they build houses.
I like all of your animals have jobs. I love that. Yeah. It's very inspirational. Yeah.
But no one will take them seriously because they're little kittens.
I identify with them.
They live in a human world, and they're trying to run a construction company.
Are they good at it, though, or are they actually...
They are the best at it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's what is so frustrating for little kittens, because they're like, look at this thing I did, and everyone's like, oh, you're so cute. You know, like... They won't be taken seriously at all.
Do they do like a little Rodney Dangerfield, like, oh, I get no respect? They do that?
Yeah, that's a normal thing. Well, a lot of regular
I'll work that in.
Workers,
I'm still doing the
really
script.
Good joke.
So.
That's a hot, fresh reference
kids
for young people.
Totally get that, too.
Yeah,
definitely.
Rodney Dangerfield references.
Bobby,
kids are all
that's the guy
over
for Back to School.
That's right.
That's
great.
What they'll say.
And you're Back to School, the hottest Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, amazing. Cool. So Hippopotamister now on stands.
Yeah, it just came out today.
Awesome. Everybody, please go check it out. And if you ask some good questions later, you might win a copy of it.
That's true.
So there you go. Yeah, I wasn't lying to everybody just now.
Corey, that's a threat.
Let's talk to you. You had a pretty big episode of Gotham last night.
Yeah.
You were crawling through some air ducts.
Yeah.
People went nuts for that. I was reading on Twitter, and people were crazy about the fact that you were hanging out in an air duct with Selina Kyle.
Yeah, well, people get really excited when there's like any kind of meeting of the major characters, and so that was a cool. That was how we met, just chilling in an air duct.
Yeah.
In Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this or touching on this a little bit backstage, but with a show like Gotham where there's so many different moving pieces and so many different parts of the cast, how often do you actually all get to be in the same place?
Well, when we have to do press, that's when, like, the main group gets together when we're all together, which is awesome. We actually all like each other, so we also hang out. Like, I took like a little 3-day vacation to Miami with Robin, who plays the penguin, three people from production. It's a really cool group.
Awesome.
So we hang out. We like each other. I'm staying, I leave for London tonight. I'm going to hang and stay at Sean Pertwee's place, who plays Alfred. So it's a good family.
Is he going to be buttling for you?
That's my plan.
Yeah. Hey, man, I need a refresher on this champagne, bro. You're in my house.
So I think you've talked about this a fair bit, but Edward has gone through so many different evolutions, or one big, really big evolution over the course of the season to become... Do you call him the Riddler? What do you call him?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No, not yet. He's like... He's still pre-Riddler.
He's into some little tiny riddles. Like,
yeah, I mean, in episode 15, he kind of went full Riddler and doesn't even know it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, he's dancing around this thing. He just hasn't donned the title or, claimed the question mark as his emblem, and that's the moment when he'll...
I love the coyness that the show, it very much knows the line, how to tease us and then pull it back. And then we get to see.
All about trying to get some ratings, man. We have just pages of instructions on what we can and cannot say and when to say it and when to you can tease something, but don't really give any information.
You're clearly breaking one of those rules right now by telling us that.
No, it's actually a whole other skill that no one trained us for. It was how to do the tease.
So you're able to say, question me that, but not riddle me this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Question me that. You can say that at any point in the show tonight.
Yeah, whatever you want.
There are things we can't say. Like, we can't call it the Bat Cave.
Right. It's a bat-laden cave. Yeah.
It's behind the fireplace, downstairs somewhere. Would you look at the character, though, just to talk about Edward Nygma? So you're playing two characters at the same time. You're playing Edward Nygma and the Steve Urkel version of Edward Nygma, the suave version.
Yeah.
At the same time. So who is he now? Is he a combination?
We kind of shoved those guys together in episode 7 or 8. It was, when I first read that, I was like, said to the creator, Bruno, I'm like, Bruno, am I schizophrenic now too? What is this? Is this is this just a way to tell the story? This is and it was for him. It was just about allowing this other person to confront himself. It wasn't actual schizophrenia, but
it's great for us viewers. Like, we get to see that side that we're looking forward to.
It was a fun thing. Technically, it was really fun to do. But we're essentially Edward accepted this other person who he the whole time thought was outside of himself, but it's actually just the person that he is acknowledging now that he's destined to be.
There's 2 episodes left in the season. I know you probably can't abjectly spoil everything, but where is Edward going? Where is he going to end up by the end of the season?
Well, it's...
not physically, but emotionally, mentally.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
question us that.
Well... he's going to continue to try to make alliances at Arkham.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because he just needs to not be a prisoner there.
Yeah, he didn't go there to make friends.
Well, he has made friends.
No, I think it sort of is a reality show.
Yeah,
I feel like we saw Penguin go through Arkham and deal with all these crazy people and sort of figure his path, and then Edward's path has been he's better at it.
He's better at
Arkham.
Who knew?
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, he realizes that he understands these people.
They're
like-minded. He's going to try to continue to make alliances and get out. The option is escape or don't be a prisoner and help. Find a new role there.
So we've talked a lot about this season on the show. We've loved this season on the show.
Yeah.
And I say this in a nice way. It's been fucking insane. Like, front to back, crazy shit happens almost every episode. You guys, behind the scenes, when you're talking about it, has there felt like there's a palpable difference between season one and season two?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're all really satisfied with how the show has evolved and what it's become. I mean, particularly me, because I was literally just on the periphery season one being like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I've had the same scene with Kristen Kringle 14 times, and I need something to happen. No, it was, you know, they were trying to figure out how to juggle all of these characters, because we started with a massive amount of characters, and some of them just disappeared because it wasn't interesting, and other ones we just killed. And then... And so we've, like, you know, we found a core family, and we decided that the procedural thing, the law and orderness of it all, was just not what's most interesting. You know, you have people, you have, like, Warner Brothers, who wants to create a show that that can be syndicated so that they can make money. And so if every episode is a standalone episode, they're going to make tons of money selling it to TBS or USA, whoever wants to syndicate the show and play it on reruns, because you just watch an episode and you're done. But that's so just not interesting from an acting perspective or a writing perspective.
And from a viewing perspective, as like a show that we want to watch on Monday nights, it's
right.
Like, oh, I look forward to this show. I want it to be moving towards something.
Like comics. It's
oh, I never thought of that.
You do want people to buy the next
that
book.
Is, yeah, I guess, like, this is based on comics. It's
so
perfect.
Like, you know, what? Once we're like, oh, let's have character arcs, and they're all not going to end at the same time, and it's just this constant circling of, like, you know, 6 to 9 different people that we're like really following. And that's kind of what it's been, and I've been constantly impressed that they can juggle it as well as they do, and in such interesting ways without losing anyone.
Well, yeah. I feel like this season especially, it feels like everyone's having fun. Like everything's moving so quickly, it's pretty crazy what happens. But there's also these fun moments, especially with Warner Brothers and the movies being sort of bleak, that this show, I don't know if you saw a Batman versus Superman movie, but this show feels like...
Wait, real quick, what did you think of that movie?
Play it cool. Play it cool, Hot John.
Oh, okay, go on. Go
Not
on.
Enough Riddler?
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm dreading the day that they put a Riddler in one of these movies.
Yeah, following in the footsteps of Jim Carrey, I believe. But this show feels like the place where the DC universe can be fun and really push that.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the weirdest things about season one for me was we didn't rehearse. We never got together, and like you just don't have time in television to rehearse. Wow. So we're showing up to film the pilot and the first few episodes. We didn't see any of the material until it's like shortly before it started airing. So we were already filming episode 7 or 8 before the first episode aired.
Wow.
So you had different people living in different worlds. And they would sometimes cross paths. But so, like, I'm with all these cops and I'm like, I don't know any other villains. I haven't seen anyone act. So I'm like, you know, it's not a real show. It's stylized. So it's like, okay, what is the style we're going for here? So, like, you know, I was like in left field and other people were in right field. And it was like, we were kind of in the stadium, sort of, but like some people were at the concession stands and we're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What is it? It was like, it took some time to find the tone. And it just does when you have a show that is this kind of creative and lives in a different universe.
Yeah, I'd say one of my favorite things is just to, because we all know the Batman world so well, to have this thing happen so early on, to see these kind of characters bounce off each other and how they helped create Gotham. Like when you and we're hanging out with Oswald Cobblepot and you guys were like fun roommates, that like blew my mind.
It was like a buddy comedy.
Yeah, it was just such a fun kind of little thing that, like, what would it be like if these two guys were friends?
You guys should do an Odd Couple style web series.
A spinoff?
Well, yeah, a spinoff.
Well, you
or
did
a
that...
spinoff, full spinoff.
You did that in Miami, though, the weekend you got.
Yeah, we actually did.
Wait, who's the messy one? Who's the clean one?
I think, well, actually, that's great. You know what, though? We're not, it's not that one of us is messy and the other is clean in space, but maybe emotionally.
Oh, fuck.
Or spiritually messy.
Oh, wow.
I think Robin really has some, like, his shit together.
Mm-hmm. I like how you were talking about yourself.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I think... I don't know what it would be. I mean, in our characters on the show, I think he would be Felix. I guess that's what they were kind of playing up. He'd be the messy one, looking for the mustard, can't find the mustard. It was this weird little drop into, like, situation comedy of another era. And it's like they flirt with these things, and then they just kind of, like, take a turn.
Yeah. Yeah, they give us a little taste of something fun and then kind of be like, okay, that's enough of that.
Well, wait, it's not like they could have spent the season living together being like, hey, did you use all the milk?
Yeah.
Could have.
I would have loved it. I'd watch it.
That would have been pretty wild, though.
But show. You know, they did say when they were writing us together, we were, you know, Bruno made it very clear, because Robin and I are dear friends, and sometimes just because you're friends, you don't actually work well together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or things are more complicated with work, and you just it just doesn't click. So they wanted our storylines to, like, converge and then kind of separate, just so they could see, like, what was happening, how fans responded, and then make decisions.
Yeah, like a first date.
Our next thing. Yeah.
First date.
It's the social media response is very real, and they tailor the show to what people are digging and what they're not. Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
It's the brilliance of social media, you know? They wanted to see how people responded to us actually having scenes together and then, you know, make some decisions for season 3.
Something I've seen from a lot of folks online, which I kind of disagree with a little bit, but I'm curious to hear what you think. They feel like some major Batman-level character should get killed off of the show so that we know nobody is safe, and this is not the Batman mythos the way that you know it.
Like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, like Bruce Wayne. Well, I saw somebody the other day said Gordon should be killed off. And I know Essen was killed off, which definitely that's a character who was in the comics who didn't really fulfill her destiny in the same way that she does in the comics. But what do you think about that?
Like major level villain?
I mean, major level.
Look, I mean, they were trying
like
to like
you.
Mess. Yeah. That's what you're
saying. What a loaded question, Alex.
Kill you off
as we go through renegotiations, we'll see what happens. I may be killed off.
Oh, sorry. Alex works for the legal department.
Yeah, I do. Sorry, Fox.
Well, you know, they played some games with Jerome being the Jeroker. And him being killed, except maybe not, because Indian Hill is a
thing. Maybe not.
So we've seen his personage in Indian Hill in a tube filled with water, so anything could happen. I don't know. I don't want them to, like, kill a major villain, because it just, I don't know, it sort of invalidates stuff.
Yeah,
for
I
me
feel like
personally.
It limits storylines more than anything. Is
to
what
kill?
I feel like.
Because I feel like it's, like, I don't need it to prove that this show is more real. Like, I just like to watch it. Like, why do I have to? And that's why I don't mind, like, the fact that Jerome may become the Joker, because, like, cool. If he's in a tube, keep him in there, and then when we need him, let him out. If he's been in a tube, his skin's going to be all pale, so he's perfect. He'll have wrinkly fingers. Very
That's exactly jokery. What they did for Jared Leto.
You're thinking of the Batman villain Raisin Hands.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to Raisin Hands for a long time.
That's
he's got a real axe to grind, and he's angry.
Yeah, he's got it in for Batman.
Yeah, he had a very long bath.
Real quick, this whole resurrection thing, it's leading towards the Court of Owls, right?
Look, cool. All right, Corey did not even look up at you.
Well, that's my theory.
We are driving toward the Court of Owls.
Yeah?
This sounds like a riddle, a fucking riddle.
Yeah, I think I can say that, because I think Bruno said, like, a long time ago that they'd be involved. But yes, that's where we're headed.
All right, but you don't know
who they are.
Right.
But you're going to meet them very soon. Oh. Well, they're going to have allusions to them very soon.
By the end of the season?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Well, that's exciting.
Great. Gotham on Mondays, except in France, where it's only showing the first season.
France is always behind. Yeah. And it's the same with our show. They're only on the first season. Mm-hmm. We're also big in Pakistan.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Really big in Pakistan.
You've been tweeting with some...
I've been tweeted by the leader of the Socialist Party in Pakistan, which is pretty
real?
Cool.
That guy, the struggle is real for that dude.
Yeah.
He's the one who said they should kill off Gordon.
Yeah.
He was like...
It's not true.
Well, I was saying, he has way more followers than me, so I was actually like, hey, thanks for the shout-out, Chairman.
Well, communism sort of keeps everybody in the same group, so they all follow each other back really well.
And
Melissa
Joan Hart followed me.
Melissa Joan Hart?
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, cool. That seems like an unrelated, not even a brag, I guess, just a humble statement. humble statement.
Something
when you
like
say
that.
Something that's not quite a brag.
Just a thing.
Yeah, cool.
There
you
go.
Hey, man, congrats. Shit, we were going to drop confetti when she finally followed you. I feel we don't have Clarissa Explains at all.
Honestly,
you've made 50 80s to 90s references tonight, and finally you get to Clarissa Explains It All.
Oh, did I do that?
Yeah. What an elaborate trail of breadcrumbs.
I think we got to move on.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because we go out to you guys. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
Yes. And for that, here's what's going to happen, though you can probably figure it out. You can ask a question for one of our lovely guests here or for the whole panel. Anything is fair game. And you're going to win some free comics and posters from modhero.com. Plus, the best question tonight is going to get a copy of Hippopotamister. I knew I was going to say it wrong. So that's pretty cool. So ask a good question, but it could be out at anything. Raise your hand now, and I will ask you right over there. I saw your hand first. Can you come all the way up? Because this mic cord is short.
Come on
all right,
down.
Come on up. Well, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Hugo.
Hugo, what's up, man?
Yo. So my question is for Corey. In season 1, episode 7. No, I'm kidding.
No. I wasn't in that one.
Yeah. Oh. There's a question. Where the fuck were you?
Question is, if you could switch roles with another actor on the show.
Oh, man, no. I love my role.
Great question.
I don't want to switch roles, except I would kind of love to play Poison Ivy, but... Not on the show, because there hasn't been a lot, but I...
Just in general, in your regular life.
Yeah. I love that we had an episode where they're like making shrooms.
Yeah.
I read that. I was like, is this, of all like the killing, I'm like, that's fine. But we can do shrooms on the show, on like an 8 p.m. show on
Fox? A bunch of underage girls just doing shrooms and making shrooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No more rules.
Yeah.
Maybe Poison Ivy.
Well, what about for the rest of you guys? If you could play any part on Gotham, what would you play?
Oh, interesting.
It's hard to not say Batman. I mean, I know he's not Batman yet, but like, you know,
yeah, but he has
is
to
someone
go
destined to be Batman?
He has to go through puberty still.
Yeah.
He might end up turning into a boat. Like,
you know,
shit's fucked up for him.
He's a boatman.
Yeah, he's some sort of boatman. I'm boatman. Pete, what do you say?
I don't know. I was always like Bullock. I always liked him.
Bullock?
Yeah.
Really?
Is it because of the beard?
No.
Oh. All right.
Because he's sort of corrupt and on the periphery.
Yep.
Yeah, you love just, you can show up late to work.
He's a curmudgeon-y guy. I can relate to that.
Yeah, right on.
I did like his moment with the last episode. I feel like he does get pushed to the periphery a little too much, and to have him step up and be like, all right, here's what we're going to do. It was nice. It was nice to see him do that.
Yeah, his speech was great.
Yeah.
I feel like this season, he has been just rushing in, and someone just yells at him, like, where have you been? Or like, you can't do that. And then he's like, all right, bye. And then he vanishes for a while. So, he has had a tough go of it. I mean, it's who to want to play. I mean, Alfred is badass in this show. Like, I feel like of all the things in that Gotham
he can fight
did,
too, man. This
we need more Alfred fight scenes.
I love the what was it like early on this season, episode 2 or 3, maybe when he fought. He like takes Bruce down to this, fights this giant dude.
Yeah, he fucked that guy up. That was awesome.
He was like, I'm gonna let this dude kick my ass.
Yeah, let me show. I'm gonna make him think that he's winning.
Yeah,
it was great.
It was great. Yeah. So I would be Alfred, and I'll tell you what, I make a good cup of tea.
I feel like this is going to be a weird answer. I feel like I'd want to be one of the newscasters. I was watching last night.
Oh yeah, you want to be further on the periphery.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're away from the main action, so that's nice. So you're safe because being a cop is basically a death sentence in Gotham.
Yeah.
The amount of cops that have died this season. I want to go back and watch the season again and count all the dead cops because every time they're like, "All right, they killed another one of our brothers," but it's literally like the entire precinct is dead.
Yeah. Azrael was just snapping heads.
Yeah.
When the maniacs came in and annihilated the precinct, I think this was episode 3. You know, these were extra actors that had been with us since we did the pilot. Wow. And so it was like, it was full-time work for them. And we saw them, you know, they were there 2, 3, 4 days a week. And so it was this weird, awful, awful day where it was like, who got the pink slip? It was just like, it was just a cleaning house. And we were all like talking to the director of that episode being like, you gotta keep him.
And all those extras had to go back to being NYPD cops, which is, it's been a nightmare for them.
Oh, that's sad though.
It was really awful. Oh, so yeah,
Wait, hold on.
Sorry, he's crying. So yeah. Wait, I want to get back to the idea that that's the character you're dying to
be. Okay, here's why. I don't know. I spent way too much thinking about this last night, but they got crazy hair. The newscasters, cool. They all have like insane hair.
They do have sort of Tim. I feel like that's the Tim Burton influences. Their hair
exactly.
Is weird.
I like that.
They're like, oh, a bunch of people got. They're sort of bad to deliver a line where
you're doing a news reporter, and be like, well, that was the mayor. He's dressed as a crazy angel person. Just fell. He was dead. Now he's alive.
That was great.
Back to you.
Galvan, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that would be fun.
Hey man,
cool.
Dream
great
big.
Question.
That was actually really good. I should have taped that. We could get you on as like a day player.
Yes. Do it.
Oh, I see what this was. A back to audition. A secret audition.
That's it for the show. You guys can all cool. I saw your hand over here. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Elias, and my question is for Corey. I love what they did with your character in this season, but like, would you say in the first season, your character, he was, like, before he killed Miss Kringle, he was a good guy, I would say. So what they did with him, I was kind of shocked because, like, the whole looking into the mirror, the bad guy and the good guy, I figured, wouldn't that be, isn't that like Harvey Dent's storyline and they're giving it to you?
Ooh.
Interesting question.
Interesting.
I don't know.
What we ended up doing, was taking... taking a trope that's used in comic books and telling kind of a visual story of two people battling for his destiny. And the thing that we were trying to play up is he was a genuinely good guy. It's the one villain that we started with who wasn't, he was wholly and completely well-intentioned. And they wanted to start that way. And the only way to kind of like break this person was for him to do it to himself. He's an autonomous character and an independent villain, and he was a loner the whole time. And so it was just our way of visually telling this story of an inner monologue without me standing there talking to myself the whole time.
I feel like he's sort of the Walter White of the show. He's like, he broke bad. He started out as a regular dude who sort of built his own. He's like, I'm going to do this. Oh, no, now I'm a villain.
Who's the Aaron Paul? Who's the Jesse?
The guy in the mirror?
Cool. I was going for meth addict, actually. Yeah. I don't know if anyone picked that up.
I knew it.
I was extra bony. I was like, you know, not sleeping when we did that stuff.
Yeah, I think you were just on meth.
That's actually...
Yeah, that's method acting.
Yeah.
Meth.
Oh, is that...
See you guys later.
Wow. Great, let's take another question. Who's got one? You, Sarah, right over there. All right, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Jordan. I was wondering if any of you folks have seen the Civil War movie, and if so, what you thought, and also whose side you were on.
Interesting. Ooh. Are you talking about the Ken Burns documentary?
Ken Burns documentary, yes.
Okay, we're good.
Yes.
We're friends. Ding.
Cool. So Captain America Civil War. Who saw it? Yeah. Great. There we go. Yeah, it was great.
I know there I have a long history of not seeing Captain America movies on time, but I saw this fucking movie.
Wow, way to do it, yeah. Huh?
It was great. It's amazing to me how people are talking about this like it's the best Marvel movie yet.
Yeah. Well, do you agree? Do you disagree?
I disagree that it's not my favorite. I thought it was great, but I feel like the movies have become comic books. It's become the kind of thing where it's like, oh, that's happening, that's happening. Get out of my face real? A second.
Jesus.
What are you about to say
right
now?
You got so close to my your breath was right in my face. I feel like it's become like a comic book where now I want it more regularly, like a drug.
Yeah.
Where it's like, when like the Avengers, the first Avengers movie was like this epic one story boom, and it felt big. This feels like, oh, a series of issues, and then you're moving on to the next one. And that's not a negative thing. It's just a different feel to it for me.
I think that's an interesting way of putting it, because Civil War, the comic, for those who haven't read it, it had an inciting event. You had this explosion at, was it a kindergarten or a playground?
School. Playground, yes. Yeah, playground. In Stamford.
Explosion at a playground in Stamford that started this whole debate between Iron Man and Captain America. But eventually, I feel like the book tapered off into teasing a bunch of other things that were coming up. And there were still exciting big moments that happened. Peter Parker unmasked in the second issue. There was Giant Man got killed by a clone robot.
Also really... amazing Punisher moment in the sewer. I mean, let's not forget about
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah, but it definitely teased a lot of upcoming books. And this, I think you're right, has a very similar format where it picks up on things that happened before, has an inciting incident with Bucky with that explosion, and then teases a lot of things that are coming up. It sets up a lot of things. It feels very middle to me. I think it's excellent middle.
Yeah, it feels like a television show as opposed to a movie.
I think what we're missing here is how fucking amazing it was. It was one of the best fight sequences ever. Yeah. I mean, it was just epic on so many different levels. And the introduction to all the characters. I mean, Black Panther was so good.
It was cool.
It couldn't have been any better. It was just nonstop holy shit moments. Yeah. And like when they stopped fighting, there were all these just great interactions. I mean, the kiss moment where you look back at this little shitty punch bug and you've got two superheroes sitting in the way back grinning from ear to ear. It was just these amazing moments. And the Queen's Brooklyn line, I fucking lost my shit constantly throughout the movie.
You lost your shit the whole time?
It's a phrase. It's
I didn't actually say
I was sitting next to him and it was not a phrase.
Yeah. Real pants-hitting movie.
Yeah. John, you saw the movie, right?
Yes, I did. I too, really liked it. It was very much like Avengers 3, really.
Yeah.
I thought it was a better Avengers film than Avengers 2. I thought Avengers 2 was okay. It's not a bad movie. It's just kind of... it's a little choppy. Like, and everyone knows that, like, the lot got edited out and whatnot. And Joss basically came out and said, my heart wasn't in it, or whatever. Like, But Civil War has, like, almost twice as many Avengers in it, and every single one of them serves a purpose.
Yep.
Like, they all get great scenes.
Yeah.
And Ultron was okay, but for a story that was, like, Civil War, the story is, like, more complex. Like, there's... you know, parts that are interwoven and stuff.
Yeah, there's like very strong points of view, like philosophical difference.
And you're sympathizing with the bad guys because essentially, like, you know, Tony Stark is kind of serves a purpose of the bad guy at the end. Whereas, like, Ultron is a very, like, this happens. It's a very straightforward story.
Few people were on Ultron's side.
Yeah,
he was a villain. Ultron. But like, it was a very, like, the story is not hard to follow. It was like very straightforward. Like, there's no nuance to his character. He was like, I'm alive and I'm evil, you know. And even with Civil War, the Zemo character ends up being like this sympathetic character. It's like you understand why he's doing what he's doing in the end, even if it's not.
Which I think served a great with. A Civil War where you're like, Iron Man's sort of right, Captain America's also right, and then the villain is also sympathetic. It was like this,
And Black Panther's arc, you know, like, is so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they could not have done that any better. Like, introducing a character out of the blue, and he has, like, it's practically his movie. Like, you could take his bits and just make a single movie out of that.
It would be a very short movie.
It would be short, but it would work.
I'd pay to see it, like, though. I'd pay to see it.
It would work.
Would you?
Yeah, it was so great.
Cool. Now, Corey, I know you did not see the movie out of solidarity for your DC brethren. Is that correct? Yeah.
I can't participate in conversations about Marvel.
Well, wait. Are you a fan of the movies? Which is your favorite Marvel movie? Do you watch the Marvel movies?
I can't participate in
conversations. Oh, that was real.
Great answer. Right. So my question is, the movie...
Well, we didn't say which side we were on, like Team Cap, Team Iron Man.
Ooh. Jesus Christ,
who's
is anybody Team Iron Man?
Team Iron.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
He could be Team Iron.
Interesting. And obviously, your hand's up, but you can't say anything about the Marvel. great.
Why does everyone have an allegiance to Captain America?
Because Iron Man's side is stupid.
Why?
There's
how is Captain
really
America not stupid?
So in the movie,
I mean, he is. I know what you mean. He's a little stupid, but Iron Man's like, we got to work for the government, which is sucks. I bet.
I mean, the stupidity still comes down to like. I think they still could have talked it over for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. They really had
Tony had 12 more hours before he had to, you know, return to General Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
They fought for a half hour, though.
The fight that they get in, the epic airport fight, is actually a relatively civil war that they were very polite to each other. They're like, we're going to punch each other, but we're not going to hurt each other that bad.
Oh, it's a lowercase c civil war.
Yeah, lowercase c civil war, exactly.
They're just very polite and gentle.
Yeah. But yeah, even that Brooklyn Queens moment, though, where it's in the middle of this fight, it's so friendly, and everybody's like, okay, we know we have to do this, but come on, let's move on to the next thing. They're all buddies. Yeah, they're all buddies.
But I thought that I agree with you, and that's why I thought the end scene was so good, because the stakes got much higher and much more real. Right. And I was very surprised. I guess we're maybe not spoiling what happens in that moment, but I was very surprised by that, and I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, really well done.
My issue is, so we're left at the end. I wish the post-credit sequences were better. I wish we were put in more of a direction, because it made me think like, oh, I guess now we just wait for more movies to come out. Right. Instead of being like propelling us in a character or narrative direction where we can be like, yes, that's going
to
be cool.
Yeah, I think the after credit sequences have changed over time with Marvel, though. They used to be that, setting up the next movie, pushing things forward and making them more propulsive. And now they're mostly just fun bits.
Just get a bunch of shawarmas when we want more Thanoses.
Really? Do you want more Thanos of being like, I'm coming soon. Soon.
I don't want more
next
rather
time.
Than later.
I don't want more of Thanos.
Much later.
Thanos is like armchair. Oh,
yeah.
Hey guys.
I'm sitting
I'm
in a chair.
Soon.
Now I'm gonna get a glove. Now I'm gonna take an elevator from space.
What I'm saying is I want more of like, oh, that's the next thing. That's the next exclamation point we can look forward to.
What you want, is the credits to end and there to be Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
the entire
movie.
The entire movie.
I want another movie.
You got more Spider-Man.
Right.
You got a little more Spider-Man.
Very little bit. Like, yeah. It's not like I was sitting at home being like, where's he going to get the belt light? And then I was like, oh, he just has it!
But I think the difference... In a way, like maybe there's this certain feeling of, you know, like there's a little anticlimactic ending. Because out of all of them, this one feels like the most that ends with a bit of a cliffhanger. You know, it ends with Captain America showing up, like, in the middle of a breakout where he's rescuing the other Avengers from the raft.
I guess we are
going to
spoil the end.
Yeah, we're spoiling the whole thing.
Yeah.
But...
That's all right. There's so much. This movie has so much that happens. We could spoil 50% of it.
There's so much in it. But it does, like, you don't know where everyone is at the end of it. Like, all the other movies end, and you kind of know, like, oh, this person's over there, that person's over there. And, you know, even the Winter Soldier, it's like, oh, well, Bucky got away. But, like.
But I think you're illustrating exactly what I'm saying, where it's just like.
It feels
the
like
movie
a comic.
Ends where it's like, where are they? And it's like, oh, I don't know. Where are anybody? Yeah. Where's anybody? It's like, oh my God, the movie ended where Captain America mailed a cell phone to his buddy? Whoa! Like, it's like, that's not a big reveal. And it's like, oh, Bucky's taking a nap? Oh!
I think that gets back to what
it's
I was saying.
It's an epic nap, though. I mean,
it's a big nap.
Yeah,
it's very middle. It's a fantastic middle, but it doesn't really have a beginning. It doesn't really have an ending. It's just continuing the adventures to your like television.
I don't like how nitpicky we are about an amazing movie. Okay, yeah. Can't we just
all right.
Say it's
well,
amazing?
I think
where was Nick Fury?
That's a good question.
Is he dead?
No,
he's not dead. But like, does everyone think he's dead? Like, does the rest like
maybe he's still living at Hawkeye's farm?
That's true. Yeah.
Just chilling.
He's babysitting the kids.
Yeah, he's babysitting. He's a great babysitter.
He just hangs behind that tractor.
I mean, this is just a guess. This is based on having seen the previous movies, but I think he only has a certain number of movies left on his contract, yeah. And this doesn't
They're
cover.
They're saving
it.
Him. Up.
Oh, a fun contractual reveal.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a larger question about Marvel movies.
We don't have time.
Just very quickly.
We don't have time.
Civil War, great. Then we're moving toward Infinity War, great. What happens after that? What's the next? What's the?
Are you talking about after
reboot?
After phase three into phase four, we are potentially losing a lot of the actors that play all of the roles that we like.
Right.
I know. What stories can we tell?
It's the one. In Marvel, they like to have like all the main characters are monkeys. So we'll get that for a little while.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Sure.
Thor
will be a frog.
Like the Jungle Book. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Thor will be a frog.
They've set up all these wonderful places as well. So you could have movies full of nothing but looking at Washington and looking at Wakanda, just like a travelogue.
Oh, you I mean think something gonna, exotic like Washington? Cool.
I think they're going to like really mix it up and do like a Nancy Meyers Christmas rom-com with all the guys.
Exactly. We see real.
Yeah, they could definitely do a remake of Mother's Day.
Yeah, except it's with
what movie? Was don't
Scarlet
worry about
Witch
it. It's fine.
The
you guys, I it. Did go and see
yeah,
Mother's
it's
Day.
Fine. We went very deep in there. Cool. I think we can take another couple of questions. Right? Or raise your hand. You, sir, right here. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Ian. I got a question for Corey. Saying that you guys are all friends on the set and everything, are there any like bloopers or practical jokes that stand out to you that have happened since you guys started filming?
Robin and I started with like practical jokes on each other, and then we just stopped. We don't really like do jokes on set or like pranks on each other. It's
right.
just love.
It's just love. Well, you knew Robin.
Sorry, you
before.
Do love on each other.
No, I didn't know Robin.
Well, you didn't
before.
Know Robin before.
No. No, we just like kind of fucked with each other at the beginning.
Right away.
Well, it was actually a PA that like instigated it. He like set up this thing, and then like so I did something back to Robin. He just kept like instigating it, and neither of us really wanted to be doing it. But we came up with some cool shit, and then like Robin called a truce.
And now that PA runs Fox.
No, he's not there anymore.
Oh, man, this is such a sad show. Cool,
people,
you're going to get some free
getting fired.
Comics. You, sir, right? Wait. Up there. Yes, yeah. Come on down.
Great.
All right, what's your name? What's your question?
Pointing into the darkness.
Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Nice.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right.
I just had a quick question. So you're doing, obviously, an amazing job with the Riddler. Are there any other Jim Carrey roles that you feel like you would like to reinvent?
I apologize for even if I gestured toward that.
Well, thank you for the compliment.
Truman Show, clearly.
You know what would be actually great? I would love to play his son in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
That would be amazing.
I spent most of my childhood impersonating him, and
really?
I feel like we could really do a cool like father-son, weird Jim Carrey style.
What?
A Liar Liar sequel.
Comedy thing. Yes, where he like finds, like, ooh, it could be a Liar Liar sequel. Or I just think it'd be really fun to do a movie with him because I do. Yeah. I spent so much time.
Well, why not take it back? They got Paul Reubens to be Robin Lord Taylor's father on the show. Have Jim Carrey be Edward Nygma's father.
So
oh,
good.
Oh my God. God.
That's great. And then Liar Liar 2, Pants on Fire. You can negotiate the deal. Make that movie.
Yeah. Perfect. Do we have any more?
Yeah, we got one more poster giveaway.
One more poster? Okay, we can take another question. You right there. Oh, you're going to have to squeeze up.
Hi, my name is John. Hey, my John. Question is for everybody. If you were a teenager and could turn into any inorganic Ooh. Object, what inorganic Ooh, object would you turn
great.
Into?
I mean, we can't say
who would party
boat.
On top of you?
Yeah. I like that you said boat. If we were teenagers, because we have to take ourselves back to a younger time in our lives.
Oh, we're cool teens just hanging out, talking
cool
about comics or whatever.
Teens.
Yeah. If you could change into an inorganic object, what would it be, Justin?
Inorganic object. Well, as a teenager, I mean... it would be cool to turn into a can of beer and be very popular. They would party with you.
Yeah, but then you get like crushed against
yeah,
somebody's head
good.
Or something.
They would drink you and then crush you.
Yep.
And isn't that
so if
team
I was
like-
a teen, is it inappropriate to say a bra?
Well, let me just say, yes. Yeah. That is
it's illegal.
How about
also-
a tank?
Yo. Teen bra. Write the book and see if you... Like, see if you go to jail first. And then, yeah.
Is that the guy who did the kid construction workers book?
Yeah, yeah.
How dare he?
He's really changed. No
Corey,
one can undo him.
Inanimate object you want to change it to?
I'd say a skateboard could skateboard to totally rad.
Oh, then I'd be a backwards baseball cap.
Yeah. Wow.
Cool. You guys I got were, my finger on the pulse.
You guys were a couple of cool stereotypes back in high school. Great.
Wow,
Corey?
That's really...
A cool teen object?
Nah, you know, I think I'd want to be an oven.
It's a very responsible
you know,
answer.
Just get to eat all the time.
That's true.
It's amazing.
How do you think ovens work?
Yeah. Well, you open your mouth and people would put food in. And you're like, cool.
Yeah.
You put
true.
Dough in and shit out a piece of bread. That's what being an oven
Perfect.
Is.
Perfect. All right. There we go. Great question. Amazing. We were going to choose your favorite question.
Favorite
John.
Two. Because
I'm going to go with the last one.
Last one?
Yes.
All right. There we go. You're going to get a copy of Hippopotamister.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you guys for your questions. Woo! All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPage.
All right. Guys, it's a part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising. Yeah, yeah, you shy but confident lady. Come on up
you
here.
You sort of all raise right. your hand.
Yeah, come on. Come that'll on. Be
raise
fun.
Your hand.
You'll win $25.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here,
grab it's the microphone. Be great. What is your name?
Latasha.
Here, turn that way.
Yeah, face the audience. Did you say Latasha?
Latasha,
audience Latasha.
Hi. Woo.
All right, so Latasha, today's trivia is on the TV show Gotham, specifically
Great.
Edward Nygma. So as long as you watch every show, you'll be fine. No cheating. No cheating.
There's no cheating on this
Yeah,
trivia.
Don't worry. You won't need it.
Okay.
So I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, you'll be fine. Wow, look at you being all nice. Great. So what is Nygma's job at the Gotham Police Department? Is it A, a forensic scientist, B, a ballistics expert, or is it C, Ooh. Deputy Hugs? So it's either A, a forensic scientist, pick A, or it's B.
Oh.
Just say the words.
A?
Yeah! Nice job! Question two. What does Nygma say the reason is for giving Kristen a cupcake with a bullet on top? Is it A, because he was struck by her beauty, B, because a beautiful woman is a dangerous thing, or is it C, because he's criminally insane? So it's either A, which is incorrect, or it's B.
Can I ask the audience?
Just say B.
You can,
B.
But...
Yeah! Here we go. Don't overthink these.
Okay.
All right. Who does Nygma become friends with as well as roommates for a short time? If you were paying attention during the show, we talked about it. It's either A, Oswald Cobblepot, B, Tom Doherty, or C, Bert and Ernie. So it's either A, which is the only one that makes sense, or it's B. Say A.
A.
Yay! $25, easiest money ever made.
You really, that only works at a comic book store.
Yeah, you may.
You said to the pub, but it'd be hard to swipe that there. And I don't know if they serve beer at Midtown Comics.
Yeah, they
yet.
Might. They might.
They might.
Yeah. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Yep.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
A lot of great stuff coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with Black Panther number 2. I cannot wait to see how this continues. Also, I'm going to say Southern Bastards number 14 and Deadpool number 11.
Oh.
Great. Anything you want to say in particular about any of those, or just the numbers and the names?
Yeah, just the numbers and the names speak for themselves.
Yeah, the numbers especially are
I mean, because if you would have said to me Deadpool, I'd be like, what? But Deadpool 11, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. You really want to pick up the story at the 11th part.
Yeah.
Just real quick, for those of you who aren't picking up Black Panther, a great book by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And who's doing the art on that?
It's
Brian Selfridge, guys. Brian Selfridge.
Thank you. It's great.
Book is excellent. Really throws you into the middle with the first issue. So pick up the second issue as well. There you go.
And incorporating so much continuity.
Yeah, it's great because he's honoring so much that came before him and kind of really setting up this world that you're about to jump into. I think it's an amazing first issue. I cannot wait to see where it goes.
Cool. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the next issue of Vision.
God damn it.
Busted. Man, this book, if you're not reading this book, it is so good. It has a dark side to its Vision. He creates a wife and two children. He builds them and then moves to the suburbs. Wears a lot of sweaters, just like in Captain America Civil War. If you love that part of the movie, gotta see this book. But it's dark. It's about sort of suburban life and how mixing with superhero life and what a nightmare it becomes. It's very good.
My pick was going to be Vision as well. This series is superb if you haven't picked it up.
Yeah.
Southern Bastards was going to be my backup, so you took that.
Yeah.
If you're not reading Southern Bastards, it's basically the darkest mob story you could possibly think of, kind of set in a small southern town where football rules the town.
Maybe you should just say the number, because that was confusing.
Oh, yeah, 14.
Oh!
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, that book is fantastic. It's dark, horrifying, but beautifully written. Definitely pick it up. Corey, what are you looking forward to?
Can I say Illuminati?
Yeah!
Sure.
And My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Yeah.
Number 42.
Yeah. Oh, number 42.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a great number. I love that.
Great,
that book
cool.
is written
and,
by
And Gotham on Mondays.
We have two
Amazing
episodes left.
Show.
What
Amazing
can people look
show.
Forward to in the last two episodes?
Fish Mooney comes back
on
Monday. So that's going to be fun.
All right. For someone.
Yeah. John, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to say Rutabaga Adventure Chef number 2. It's a book, but it's the second volume in a graphic novel series. It's about it's kind of like a fantasy world, Dungeons and Dragons kind of fantasy world, and there's like this little like character who goes around on adventures, but he's a chef, and so he cooks meals for like adventuring goblins and monsters and all that sort of stuff.
It's cool.
Awesome. It's really, really funny.
Again, a great character with a great job, just getting by.
Exactly. Exactly. And also the Guardians of the Galaxy golden book. They're doing like little golden books of Marvel characters, and those sound awesome. So
yeah,
cool. All right, and plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
There's Hippopotamister, which comes out today. And Teen Boat, which there are two volumes. There's volume 1, which is just Teen Boat, and volume 2, The Race for Boatlantis.
Awesome. Definitely check all of that out. A couple of things before we go. We should mention that this show in particular was sponsored by a generation donation by one of our interns and a fan of the show, David McKay. Thank you, David McKay, so much for sponsoring the show.
Hell yeah.
The show is free to do, but if you're here in the theater and would like to throw a few bucks in the hat over there on the way out, that would be much appreciated because we do put up our own money to do it.
Yeah, we got to keep the tanning lights on here.
Yeah, exactly. Super hot. Or if you're listening at home, we do have a virtual hat, GoFundMe.com/comicbookclublive. That keeps the show going. We appreciate all of your help. What else do we want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we're having on the show.
Follow us on Twitter @comicbooklive.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com or nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Radar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Corin for being on the show.
Yeah!
John!
Yeah!
Want to thank our man of the booth, Poopat Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m. in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.